This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going on, and right now I'm talking with John O'Garrison from O'Garrison.
Yep.
From Ophidian Eye. They have a new album called Desolate out now on Season of Mist. You're in San Diego and the rest of your band is in Iceland right now?
That's exactly right. And that's how it's been the whole time and how it will continue to be. We're remotely collaborating.
So, I guess give me a little backstory on how that happened, how you met up with the band, and I'm assuming probably via the internet?
Absolutely. As most things are done these days, it was via the internet. And we actually go way, way back to the time of their debut album, which was called Solvit Saeclum, and it was released, I think, in 2012, when they were on their release cycle for that album. I was in another band that was also had just been signed to Unique Leader Records and was putting out an album kind of concurrently. Mm-hmm. And Simon, our guitarist, noticed my name, having an Icelandic surname, yeah, which is pretty rare to see outside of Iceland. He thought I must be some kind of like expat or something. So he reached out to me to do some cross promotion with their album and ours that was coming out at the time. And a fast friendship came of it. And we never really lost touch from that time. And so when Desolate was at the stage where they had recorded all of the instrumental tracks, but didn't have a vocalist, he tapped me and said, "Hey man, step up and do a vocal demo and let's see what you got." And the rest is history.
That's killer, man. And is this the only band you're doing now?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I think I'm the only member of the band that isn't in another band as well. Everyone else has multiple other projects going. They're all very prolific.
Okay. So you tried out via vocal tryout, and then I got to ask, because I have a friend who's in several bands over in, in Seattle, and mm-hmm. they're over in Europe, and he's never met the people. Have you actually played with them live? Have you met them before?
So we haven't. I've met them a ton. I visited Iceland several times in the years leading up to when I joined the band. And actually, Simon, the guy who got me to do the vocal tryout, was he came out here to my wedding. And so we're like longstanding friends and have visited each other back and forth. I haven't jammed this material with them formally. I did go out there. Digitally we have, but not in person, like a rehearsal space. And I was there and watched them play through a few of the songs when I went out in February of 2020 to do some press stuff and record some videos, and was lucky to be able to watch them jam then, but I wasn't quite up to shape for performing at the time. So not yet, but it'll happen. You know, it's bound to happen. If we're going to take it on the road, we got to get together.
Absolutely, man. So you're down in San Diego. Is this where you primarily grew up?
Yes, I was born and raised in San Diego.
Cool, man.
I've been here all that time.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about like growing up in that area. Did you get into like the local metal, hardcore, punk, underground scene?
Absolutely. In fact, in high school, I was like principally a crusty punk kid. That was my jam, and I was very frequently found at punk shows throughout high school and afterwards. And it was kind of, and a lot of my biggest inspirations in terms of vocals were found locally as well. Travis Ryan from Cattle Decap being one of the big ones that is, I think most extreme metal vocalists point to him as a big influence, or at least someone that they kind of look up to. And so I followed Cattle since, you know, their first EPs, and I've been a huge fan ever since, and they can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, but to sum it up, definitely I've been around going to punk shows and metal shows since I was a little idiot, and now I'm a big idiot doing the same thing.
Right. Yep. So yeah, my friend Ra, he played in Cattle for a while,
That's awesome.
Played bass in Cattle, and he lives up here in Seattle. So I always talk to him about some bands, and he's always telling me about how there was a really, really cool, like hardcore scene down in San Diego, as well as, you know, like a lot of cool metal bands down there. So,
yeah, I mean, especially when I was in high school, I feel like the punk scene was really flourishing. There were multiple shows throughout the week and on the weekends. It was always kind of a struggle to decide which show you were going to go to on like a Friday night. Most nights there were competing bills, and it was very, verdant at that time, I would say. Through the years, it's kind of waxed and waned, but San Diego has a very strong underground music scene, I feel. It's kind of like got a chip on its shoulder because, you know, it's all the people who didn't want to end up in LA. Mm-hmm. And so they're here for a very specific reason. And you've got like the Locust, another legacy band from San Diego that I am in love with. And for extreme metal, there's like Pathology and Condemned, and a lot. It runs the gamut, and just a lot of talented folks hanging out here.
Nice, man. So, as far as the pandemic goes, how do you think San Diego is gonna fare as far as the local music scene coming out of it? Do you think it's gonna still be healthy? Has there been any effect as far as like clubs shutting down or anything like that, or is it still too early to see?
So we're actually kind of watching it unfold in the past couple of weeks. So the main metal venue here is a little dive bar called Brick by Brick. And they, I think, have had their first show this past Saturday, or one of their first couple shows since lockdown. And, and everyone's kind of different venues are playing it to varying degrees of safeness. You know, some require proof of vaccine or a negative test. All of them require masks that I know of, which I think, you know, you got to be safe. If we want to see a full recovery from the devastating effects of COVID, we have to be extremely cautious. And so I support whatever measure of safety anyone would enforce on these types of events. And so it's happening now, and we'll see how it plays out. And I'm very hopeful. You know, I'm optimistic. I think that everyone at the end of the day knows that they just have to do it right if we're going to get back to full form. So let's see.
It's interesting seeing, you know, leading concert, you know, promotions like AEG, Live Nations, two of the biggest in the United States, taking steps to help curb the spread of the coronavirus, even times more than local governments have.
Absolutely.
It's like, I mean, it's like the concert promoters and the show, you know, staff are leading the way in ways that we can help prevent.
Yeah, I mean, they're the entertainment industry in a lot of ways more than any other industry, I feel, aside from maybe hospitality or food service, have just been there like completely decimated by the effects of it. And so I would expect them to be at the forefront of you know, proactive measures to get things back to normal, because if you don't have live music, like, what is there? You know, you can subsist on digital content for only so long. I think we got to get back to playing in front of people. That's the soul of the industry.
And, you know, if you're listening to this and you know, you feel a certain other way or whatever, like, I get it. I'm not, you know, not to put any, like, you know, hard politics into this or whatever, but if it means, you know, being able to see our friends' bands and having our friends that work at venues be able to, you know, keep their livelihood and their jobs, put on a mask, you know, at the least you can do, you know.
So, second that.
All right, man. Well, so did you guys record this album during the pandemic?
It was recorded in bits and pieces throughout the 3 or 4 years leading up to the pandemic.
Okay.
So I was the last one to track. And so all the instrumentals were tracked probably midway through 2019. Mm-hmm. And I had it through the fall of 2019 and recorded my vocal takes. And then pretty much by the start of 2020, the album was in the can, ready to be mixed and mastered. So it didn't affect the recording process all that much. What it did affect was our rollout, and, you know, our planned release cycle got delayed quite a bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think we got pretty lucky with how it lined up.
You're like, all right, we're going to release the album, and 2020 is going to be our biggest year. We're going to tour the world. Oh, never mind.
Psych. Yeah, it was brutal. But I mean, better late than never. It came out, what was it, exactly a month ago today, July 16th. And the reception has been, it's far exceeding anything we could have expected. And so we're very happy. And it's just getting us more and more amped for when we can take it on the road.
How did you guys, I mean, I'm assuming they probably worked out a deal with Seasons of Mist before, you know, you joined the band, but what's that been like? And how did they start working with Seasons of Mist?
So it's been fantastic. And it actually did happen after I joined. They didn't have any label prospects before the album was basically ready to deliver. And the reason for that was kind of calculated, because they wanted to put together a lot of digital content, given that the new narrative was that you can't play live and you have to provide a lot of content, front load a lot of content to keep people engaged during the first part of the release cycle when we aren't going to be able to play live. So they put a lot of energy into during the pandemic, creating, you know, teaser videos, playthroughs. And we had three music videos lined up, and all that was in a press kit that we then shopped out to a bunch of different labels. And so we wanted to come at these labels with full force, show them that we were very serious about making sure that this release met the highest standard possible. And that, you know, we just wanted to put forth our passion and show them that we're looking for a real home for this piece of work that we've been, you know, slaving over for the last handful of years. And yeah, so the nuts and bolts of it was that in the meantime, to occupy themselves, Simon and Ragnar, our guitarist, one of our guitarists and our drummer, have a black metal project called Helfro. They wrote and released an album and got it signed to Season of the Mist in the year leading up to Desolate.
Oh, cool.
And so just for something to do while they were waiting for the album to be done.
Okay.
And so that kind of established the relationship with Season of the Mist. And it was kind of we did shop it around to multiple labels, but at the end of the day, it was kind of a shoe-in, and we already had that relationship, and they were excited about, you know, Desolate and Ophidia and I in general, and what it represented. And so it was kind of buttoned up relatively quickly after we started chopping.
I just got to say, just for the two bands that, you know, we've mentioned you playing, and you've had experience with two of the, you know, coolest underground labels, Unique Leader and now Seasons of Mist. So that's something cool.
It's a nice little feather in the cap. And I like to, you know, I enjoyed my time at UL. I was fortunate enough to have some, you know, minimal communications with Eric before he passed. And that was like, you know, talk about meeting your idols and then having him deliver your music to the world is like, holy crap. It was fantastic. And so I really enjoyed that. And Season of Mist for their part has been incredible. Their support has just been completely unyielding. They know what they're doing. They're not one of like the AAA tier labels, but they hold their own, and their roster is just indisputably sick. It's been fantastic. We love it. It's the perfect home for us, I think.
And if you're just listening and you're like, Eric, who? Well, Eric from Deeds of Flesh ran Unique Leader, and he also passed away just a couple of years back. So that's what he was mentioning. So
right. And rest in power.
Was he the one who signed the band?
Yeah, he was. So we somehow got a hold of his direct email address.
Okay.
And just sent him an email one day, and it maybe like a couple days later, he got back to us and said, "Yeah, this sounds like a mix of." At the time, two bands on their roster were Rings of Saturn and Halo of Gunfire. And he's like, yep, okay, I'll send you guys a contract. You can look over it. And that was it. It was very straightforward. He was down. So
that's one thing about Unique Leader is if you get a Unique Leader album, chances are it's probably going to be brutal. It's probably going to be technical. And it's probably going to be pretty sick.
Yep. They deliver on that routinely. Haven't disappointed yet.
Absolutely, man. So, all right. Now I'm curious about as far as like doing vocals, and like you said that Travis Ryan from Cattle Decapitation was a big influence for you. What other influences do you have on like your vocal style and whatnot? You kind of like modeled yourself after, but like, you know, growing up, like what did you look to as inspiration?
Absolutely. So like I mentioned, I started off in the punk scene, and my first band that I played in was a punk band, like a really crappy, like garage punk band. And so that, right off the bat was how I kind of got immersed in, I was the vocalist, as you may have guessed. And that's how I kind of got plunged into the world of, I'd say extreme vocals, but screaming at the bare minimum, like a mid screamed vocal. And, because I can't sing. And so it was like my one way in to all my friends who were like picking up the guitars and the drums and like getting super sick at musically. I was like, well, I can scream into a mic. Let's do this. And so I did that for a number of years, but, I came across a couple of pivotal milestones in my music listening that kind of drove me into listening to heavier music and death metal specifically, and a few bands that caught me early on and that I think I carry with me as my principal inspiration for my vocal style, or my presence as like a front man. Mm-hmm. Number one, Glenn Benton from Deicide.
Nice.
Was probably the first death metal song I ever heard was Bible Basher. And I've never gotten over how, just how ferocious and pissed off he sounds all the time. And that's something that I always really valued about his vocal style. You can tell that he's delivering his lyrics with an intense amount of ferocity and what sounds like anger. I don't know if he's actually angry up there, but he certainly sells it like he is. And that kind of has always stuck in my mind as like a pivotal component of metal vocals. And then after that, that kind of like got filed away in the old brain cave. And then I went through a period where I was obsessed with Gwar. I've seen Gwar like maybe a dozen, maybe 18 times over a course of maybe 2 or 3 years when I was like around high school age. And Dave Brocky was the vocalist at the time. Also, rest in peace, Odorous Urungus. His performative presence really, really struck me a lot. And it was where he never took himself too seriously. Mm-hmm. He was obviously playing a character, and the character is kind of like comedic. And I that resonated with me equally as much as Glenn Benton on the other side of the spectrum, who was totally all serious all the time, or at least appeared to be. I liked the idea of finding some middle ground between those two ends of the spectrum. And then, let's see who else. I saw tying into Gwar. The first time I ever saw the Red Chord was opening for Gwar.
Nice.
Guy Kozowick was another just like very brutal, raw, like hardcore, low mid growl.
Yep.
And just like very iconic to me anyway. And really that, if I had to say that there was a vocalist that I tried to model my style on early, it was Guy Kozowick. And then, and of course, throughout that whole period, I was attending cattle shows and watching Travis Ryan's early antics on stage, you know, hawking loogies up into the air and then snorting them. And classy. Absolutely. Pure class. And that just like being a gross punk kid, like that resonated with me pretty strongly. And those, I would quote those four dudes probably as like my bedrock in terms of vocal stylings and stage presence. That's nice. My building blocks.
It's a nice, solid base there. I like it.
Yeah. Sorry for the long-winded answer.
Oh, dude, I asked, man, that's what I'm asking. So, as far as like you keeping your voice up and stuff, is there anything that you do to like before a show or before a vocal, recording session? Do you, gargle with, some tea, or so you drink some honey tea, or you just go in? Some people are just like, nah, I don't do anything. I just smoke cigs and just go in, man. Just go in raw.
Yeah. I mean, tea helps. Tea, I don't do it as a warm up, but if I'm going to be, like for tracking sessions, if I'm going to be doing vocals, lots of vocal takes over a protracted period of time, the tea helps keep your, so the vestibular folds, the false chords, it doesn't hurt per se, but they start to gum up a little bit after a while. Tea helps prevent that. And warming up is absolutely crucial. I have a little bit of like a warm-up routine that I'll go through for maybe 30 minutes before I really dive into it. And that's just, you know, like humming or kind of like a low volume growl or just kind of like gurgling or making weird noises and just, you know, keeping it, getting it loose. That's really important. Yeah, that's about it. I should probably put more effort into maintaining it. And actually that's been kind of like an ongoing process of mine, is trying to optimize for endurance and making sure because I've been on tour and really messed my voice up. And that's not a position you want to be in halfway through a tour, because then you're going to sound like ass for the rest of the dates or whatever. And it just, that makes it not fun.
So I'm going to assume that, not all of our friends are metal friends, right? So you probably have some like quote unquote normie friends.
Oh yeah.
How do you describe what you do to them, and what's the reaction when they hear what you do?
I try not to put too much effort into describing it. I'll just show them.
Okay.
And the reaction is usually general disbelief, because I'm as most vocalists, metal vocalists are, I'm pretty quiet dude outside of that, like pretty introverted and not real chatty. And so it definitely surprises people. But I think if they really think about it, they're like, oh, you know what? Yeah, this makes sense. This has always been there beneath the surface, if we really think about who John is and the kind of things that he gets into. So yeah, the initial surprise is always funny to watch. But yeah, I definitely, I'm not really eloquent when I'm trying to like pitch them on it. I just let the proof be in the pudding. I'll show them what I do and see how they react.
So, you know, we've all been trying to stay at least a semblance of sane during this time. Aside from, you know, focusing on band stuff and probably chatting with your band and stuff and figuring out the rollout for the album, what's kept you sane or at least kept you busy?
Oh, lots of video games for sure, especially in the beginning part of the pandemic. My wife and I maybe logged collectively like 500 hours on Animal Crossing for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Which was you know, a great way to kill time. And we actually had our first kid.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he's just over 5 months old. So
awesome.
That's obviously taken up a lot of my time and attention. But I mean, if I had to juggle having a newborn against you know, an album release cycle, there wouldn't be a better time to do it than right now, because we can't tour. So in that way, the timing worked out.
Were you, oh, you got a dog back there?
Yeah, this, he decided to invite himself in.
Nice. Well, welcome to the interview, bud. Cool, man. Well, you know, I'm not going to take up your whole night or anything, but I am curious about a couple things. So you're wearing a Job for a Cowboy t-shirt.
Yep.
I'm actually not wearing a metal the one time I'm not wearing a t-shirt with any metal on it, but I'm curious. So, you know, I like to ask sometimes, like, what was your first album, stuff like that. But since you're wearing a metal t-shirt, what was the first metal t-shirt you ever purchased as a kid or growing up, or, you know, as a showgoer? What was your first metal t-shirt?
Man, that is a really good question.
Or band t-shirt. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be metal. You said you grew up more as like a punk kid. So what was your first band t-shirt?
I think my first band t-shirt that was actually a hoodie, and it was, there's this punk band based out of Pennsylvania called The Virus.
Yeah.
They were on Punkcore Records.
Street punk band. You play with like leftover crack kind of bands and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was probably my first like conscious purchase of a band shirt. I would, if I had to guess, and I loved that thing and wore it until it fell to pieces, of course, and never washed it naturally. Being a crusty punk kid, it was really gross.
A lot of safety pins on it, probably.
Oh, yeah. It was held together with spit and dreams and whatever other grime I collected at the various shows that I attended. But
you're metal, immune to COVID because you had that hoodie.
Yeah. Yeah. Never mind the vaccine. The hoodie inoculated me from all forms of foreign invasion. It was
exactly.
It was its own living organism. But yes, that was probably the first article of wearable merch I really like saved up to get. And metal, I wish I could remember what the first metal shirt I got was. I want to say, so I got into metal right around, I'd say probably 2007, 2008, like seriously. And if you recall, 2007, was it 2007? Anyway, the year that Necrophagist headlined Summer Slaughter.
Oh yeah, it was Suffocation, Necrophagist. Yep. That was a good year.
Yep. And so I think that was the first show that I really, like, really, really made a concerted effort to attend as like a metal fan. And I want to say, I don't know if it was exactly my first one, but I definitely did buy a Necrophagist Stab Wound t-shirt at that show. And that's got to be in the first five, I would say. And so I'm going to give that one credit for being the first one. It was my favorite shirt, but again, fell to pieces because I wore it all the time.
When do you think we'll get another Necrophagist album? You think it'll be 24? You think the world will be around by the time, you know?
We'll definitely be like a interplanetary species by the time we get another Necrophagist album. And maybe that's for the best.
It's fitting. I mean, fitting for the sound, you know, soundtrack. So
absolutely. The brutal soundtrack to the crushing solitude of outer space will be Muhammad's third album. Absolutely. And I mean, as much as I want it to happen, I got to respect the guy. He created two of the most iconic albums the genre has ever known or may ever know, and then just dipped out at the peak of it and was like, you know what? I did my duties. I'm out.
What more else can I do?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to give it to him. Respect.
He dropped those on everyone and was like, all right, guys, you can tinker with these and rip them off for the next 15 years, and then I'll come back.
Yep. I'll see which one of you fools will write our third album. Exactly. That's what he was waiting for. He's like, I'm gonna shop this out. I'm gonna crowdsource the third Necrophagist album. I'll let a generation of kids like cut their teeth on it, and then they can come write it for me.
I like it. That's funny. All right, man. Well, I'm curious. Do you guys have any plans? You know, shows are kind of opening up, and it's kind of like tentative. I know because you guys are in different, you know, areas of the world, it might be a little difficult. Do you guys have any plans for shows coming up?
Yeah, unfortunately, nothing imminent. And mm-hmm. it is, you know, partially because of the varying levels of restrictions between here and Iceland, but also the difficulty with travel. Any tour for us is an international tour, basically. Yep. You know, they're
pricey.
They're on an island in the middle of the North Atlantic. So it's either, you know,
no local shows.
None, basically. And so we're very hopeful that by summer next year, we can get some stuff put together. But yeah, nothing on the books right now.
All right, man. Well, how can we support you guys right now? What's the best way to support you guys?
So we're on Bandcamp. We're on all your major streaming platforms, the Season of Mist web store, North American or European. I think we had a limited run of vinyls, which I think may have all been sold out. Thank you guys very much. But there's also CDs still in stock, and digital copies are available for purchase. But at the end of the day, I mean, Season of Mist is streaming the whole album on their YouTube channel. If you want to, you know, kind of dip your toes in and see what it's all about, by all means, as long as you're listening to it, I'm happy. So dive in.
Awesome, man. One final question we ask everyone we talk to, and the answer is sent to range. So curious, if you could pick a scar on your body and show us, if you can, and tell us the story of how you got the scar.
A scar. I play it pretty safe. I don't know that I have a lot of battle scars.
Okay.
But here's what I'll do. In place of a scar, I'll show you my first tattoo.
Okay. Sounds good.
And it's I got it on my 18th birthday, and it was the only thing I could think to do. And it's this. I don't know if you can see with the light, but it's the little eyeballs on my knuckle there to make a stupid little face.
Oh, I see it. Oh, my God. It reminds me of Syphil and Ollie from MTV, dude.
Yep.
That's amazing.
So that's my dumb, we'll call it a scar.
I like it. Nice, man. All right, dude. Well, any final words before we let you go?
Just thank you very much for your time. Thank everyone who's been listening to the album and sharing the love and telling your friends about it. Please continue to do so. And we will be eventually out to your city, we hope, you know, sooner than later, playing in front of you all and reveling in a world with live music again. And so we very much look forward to it, and thank you for all your support.
Thank you, John from Ophidian Eye. Check out the new album Desolate on Season of Mist.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.